This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
One more real quick. Paul, Wildcard 2, come on the line from Yuba City, California, and talk to us for just a minute, because that's about all we have.
Thanks for having me on. The way I look at this is that basically, as the president, we have a hybrid. We have somebody who grew up with Frank Marshall Davis, who's a communist, and also with the anti-colonial edge, which is directly linked back to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is directly linked back to the Nazis. And what we have is somebody who's a national socialist. And you can see how he drives his agenda. Also, as the president, he has been linked directly to the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, if you take a look at Benghazi, which is now turning out to be nothing more than Fast and Furious on steroids over in Europe, you know, you've got a president here who's got a clear agenda. His behavior patterns, all the things that have been going on with all the school shootings, all that stuff fits the same thing as what you saw in Hitler's Germany. And he's basically using the same tactics that Hitler used to take over Germany. It's being applied here in the United States.
That's an interesting point. Thank you very much for the call, Paul.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
In the original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are because you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And of course, newcaliforniastate.com. NewCaliforniaState.com, the only constitutional movement in the United States. Well, actually, there's a couple more that have templated right off of us. The only constitutional movement that is a constitutional movement, a true movement that even the courts won't touch. It's kind of an interesting place to be. We now have also New Illinois. We have New Hawaii. We have New Nevada. Soon to be New York. All these different states are all of a sudden figuring out there is a difference between being rural and being urban, and there is a difference in representation. So that's what New California is all about. So newcaliforniastate.com, go and click all the little buttons on the front page and you'll get there. We also have continuing our coverage of what's going on up there in Oregon. And of course, you know, we are deeply seated in the whole Oregon thing ever since the Malheur and even before that. And the crazy administration of Kate Brown, or Kate Braun, some people want to call her, about all this stuff that's going on. We've been covering wall to wall about, of course, the absented, as they're known, the absent senators. took it upon themselves in two incidences where they just left the legislature. They left and didn't come back, and of course they had to be called back. The first time they went back with an agreement, the agreement was broken by the Senate. And of course, what they were arguing about is two things. One, they wanted to get rid of a bill that was the same kind of bill that California passed regarding inoculations, which they stopped cold. And then this recent one, of course, is as we know it out here, is AB 32, California Air Resources Board establishment, the trading in carbon credits. What a scam that is. And of course, we know that climate change and, you know, the whole global warming thing is a complete sham. Scientifically, from myself, as you know, being a science, has strong science background. I taught science, biological science, environmental science. The credentials are pretty long about that for years. And I can tell you that in the battle of the radical environmentalist, it started a long, long time ago. And now it's kind of reaching a head, I think, in Oregon with this whole demonstration. Right now, as we speak, there's a massive demonstration going on in Salem. And a little bit later on in the hour, we're going to be talking to some people on the ground. We're scheduling the interview right now as we speak, and we're going to be talking to those people and getting their perspective. It's going to be interesting to talk to people on the ground because they are flexing their muscles. We understand that the turnout is massive. So anyway, with us right now, though, is another very, very great scientist, in my opinion, Gregory Whitestone. He's a geologist with more than 35 years of studying the Earth's processes. So he's like a real science guy, okay? This is no science guy toy that you find on CNN. He is a geologist and best-selling author of Inconvenient Facts, the science that Al Gore does not want you to know. He provides factual data, thank goodness, factual data on the latest climate myths in a manner that is insightful and entertaining. And, of course, he's got a lot to say about what's going on up there. He had a recent editorial about the whole thing that's going on in this climate action plan that they've wanted to establish. So, Gregory, welcome to Agenda 21 Radio.
Yeah, thanks for being back with you. I think we were on about a year ago.
Is that right?
Things are heating up in Oregon. The only good news, if Oregon passes this, that California will finally have one state that they can compete with, because Oregon will be bringing themselves down to California's level.
Well, you know, California, we talk about this, and as we found out in our research, is that you got the governor, Newsom, and you got many of the legislature in the legislature of California, which, by the way, is a monoparty system. It's a dictatorship. And they have been encouraging, of course, this whole scam, this climate action plan going forward in Oregon so that they can start changing or exchanging carbon credits. They want to buy up on cheap on the dollar their carbon credits that they have in Oregon and trade it on their own system in Sacramento, hoping to realize a lot of profit. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen, because I don't think this action plan is going anywhere.
Yeah, nor should it. The Republicans, I'm sure your listeners are up to date on this, but about 10 days ago, the Oregon House passed this cap-and-trade legislation. It was sent over to the Senate for their approval, where the Democrats hold a majority, and they were expected to approve it there. The Republicans, though, the rule in Oregon is they need a supermajority. They have a quorum, a two-thirds majority, and the Republicans couldn't kill the bill if it was voted on, but they could just leave. They could get the heck out of Dodge, and I think they're in an undisclosed location in Idaho right now, from what I understand. So they could prevent a quorum from being established, so no vote could be taken, and kudos to them. The Democrats just announced yesterday, the Democrat leader in the Senate announced that they did not have the votes, even with the Democrats, to pass this horrible, horrible bill. And so good going, senators. This session is over on Sunday, June 30th, just 3 days from now. And so the governor had threatened to establish special sessions up there to bring it back. But with this announcement yesterday, it sounds a lot like this thing's been killed. And good for the people of Oregon, because what this really was, it's the urbanites, those green-minded urbanites around Portland that want to impose this. They've got the numbers, and it's really urban versus rural, lumber versus tech. And they're spitting on those lumber companies, could care less about people going out of business, laying off people. We've already seen one company, Stimson Lumber, actually laid off 60 people ahead of this because they thought it was going through, and they said, we can't do it. So it's good for Oregon. We're seeing a revolt, not just in Oregon, but throughout the country and actually around the world. We're seeing votes going against the Greens, going against carbon taxes, going against cap and trade. People are waking up, and it's about time.
Yeah, and of course, California has been the leader in all this stuff. And what we're doing out here in California is we've got this new California state movement that's really got a lot of legs. 52 of the 58 counties, either whole or part, have joined up with the new California state movement. It's becoming a massive, massive movement to push back. And by the way, it's all the rural areas of California versus the urban. And when you take a look at it, there's really only three places in California that are really heavily urbanized, and that's Sacramento, San Francisco, and Los Angeles basin area. If you take those out of the equation, it's about 20 million people. If you'll take a look at the landmass, the rest of the landmass of California, which is about 85% of the land, it's all rural. But that accounts for 19 million Californians who have no representation at all right now. And, of course, New California will bring back the representation and a whole lot of other things. Also, an economy. We'll get rid of this whole carbon trading scam and all this good stuff that's happening right now that is destroying our middle class. And, of course, the Oregonians learned this by taking a look at what's going on in California.
Yeah, yeah. And if we look, Paul, if we look at what's the goal, I'm going to test you here. What's the goal, the overarching goal of a cap and trade system or carbon tax? What is it?
Well,
it's and I'll answer this for you. It's to reduce carbon dioxide. But the overarching goal, the final goal, is to alter the Earth's temperature. What they're saying in Oregon is we're going to impose this, and by doing this, we're going to alter the Earth's temperature. And when you say it like that, it's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. That's the overarching goal. They think they can alter the Earth's temperature by doing this. So I took a look. I don't think this is a powerful tool. It's called the Magic Simulator, M-A-G-I-C-C, and it stands for Model for the Assessment of Greenhouse Gas-Induced Climate Change, developed by the National Center for Atmospheric Research under the EPA. So I used their own data to estimate how much, if they did nothing in Oregon, how much would the temperature rise be? And I came up, all right, you ready? You sitting down?
I am.
One thousandth of a degree Fahrenheit by the year 2100. That's what they're fighting over. 1/1000th of a degree Fahrenheit.
And you use their model.
Using their own model.
Right.
I don't buy the models. But I like what I do is I like to take their own information,
sure,
and turn it against them. Because in my book, and I've got a smartphone app where this magic simulator, you can click on that to see that for yourself, and you can model different climate sensitivities, and by 2050 or 2100, you can see that. And so this, and I've got broken down for the United States, the industrial world, and I've got it listed for each state. I'm putting that up on my website today. So you'll be able to look and say, okay, if you live in Idaho, if we reduced 100% of our emissions, what would that mean? And you can find out just how small of a reduction that is. And it's just really crazy. For example, Idaho. And if we go, I'm looking up here, we go, Idaho, okay. It would be 7/1000000ths of a degree Fahrenheit by the year 2100. Well, we can't measure hundreds of a degree temperature. It's well below our capabilities of measurement. And this is what they're trying to do. What they're trying to do is control the uncontrollable. And they think that a small increase or decrease in CO2 is the control knob on the thermostat of the Earth. And it's, you and I know that. And I, as a geologist, I look at the long-term perspective. And I don't dispute that we're adding CO2, thank God.
Yeah, we need
it. Back of my SUV, my bumper sticker says, I heart CO2. And
well, that's a great one. I want that bumper sticker.
I'll send you one.
I want to sell them on the website.
Yeah.
I want those greenhouse gases.
Yeah. Well, I'm a huge proponent of the result of rising temperatures and increasing CO2 is an Earth and an Earth that's thriving, prospering, and greening, and humanity and the human condition are benefiting because.
Right.
Of rising temperatures and increasing CO2, and it ain't even close. It ain't even close, and I can argue that and scientifically and prove it with facts, science, and data.
You know,
I'm on. Here, go ahead.
You know, one of the things, being a science teacher and a science guy, I used to run into these people who proclaim, the opposite of this, and it's a man-made climate change and all that stuff. And years and years and years ago, we were at a dinner party and. The host, the wife of the host, was late because she was attending one of those Al Gore climate change meetings. And we're all sitting around, and of course, they knew that I was a science teacher at one point in time, and they asked me if I believed in global warming. And I said, yeah, I believed in global warming. I said, the globe warms all the time. And I said, interesting thing is that when the Earth warms and the temperatures go up on the Earth, the moon also correspondingly warms, and so does Mars and Venus and Pluto, and so does Uranus. To which
I watch how you say that.
Yeah. Well, and of course, they looked at me, and I said, of course, there are no SUVs on the moon or those other planets except for Earth, so what causes all those to warm at exactly the same time? It's called the sun. And of course, that just shoots them all down. Of course, that's the mitigator right there.
Well, then you need, if you haven't gotten it, you need to get this app. If you go to the App Store or Google Play for Android, it's powerful. It gives all 60 of the inconvenient facts with charts and the science, and I've got original videos linked to it. But it's a powerful tool to put in the palm of your hand. If you go there and just search for inconvenient facts, I'm telling you what, Paul, when you get that, you're going to use it. I use it. I travel around the country speaking a lot. I was just in D.C. last week speaking to 200 college students, warmly received. And I'll be going to Kansas and then out to St. Louis after that, speaking to large groups there. But this I'm telling you what, this app is powerful tool. And when you get it, you'll be able to go to those places. You'll be able to go to a dinner and pull it out and say, somebody tells you, if your idiot nephew Billy tells you that you're at dinner and he tells you the polar bears are going extinct, you can go, wait a minute, Billy. Here's my fact number 52, 60 years of polar bear population chart. What about that, Billy? So you have that powerful data right there in the palm of your hand to use. So when you get it, you'll be amazed, and you will be using it, I guarantee it.
Well, it's kind of interesting. We got... we had our previous guest in the first hour, Sheila Weinberg, Truth in Accounting. She has similar apps that are going on out there about all the different states and how they behave with a budget. And it really absolutely clears a lot of the mystique up about how they, are screwing us basically with the budget in California in particular, but all the other states. We need this kind of information directly in our palms of our hands to refute the crazies that are out there. I was surprised that last night that they just made the big pontification in that debate that, yeah, climate change is a problem, but they didn't, of course, they have no science behind any of their claims. That's where you come in. That's where guys like me come in, because I believe in hard data facts and the truthful interpretation of those data facts. I used to teach the scientific method, and all the way through that process of learning about the scientific method, it's always present your data truthfully. And these people just lost perspective on it. They've run off with the scientific method and bastardized it, and they come up with corrupt data, as you know. And you know how that process works. They want to have their grants and so on. So they skew the data and lie so they get more money.
One of the things I like to use, Paul, is I like to look back throughout human history. If we go back to the last 4,500 so years, back to the very first, the great Mycenaean culture that rose up around the Mediterranean, Akhenaten. You look at each one of the warming trends, and we're in a warming trend, Paul. We are. It's been warming for over 300 years, and it started in the depths of the Little Ice Age. But there were three other warming periods, very similar to what we're in right now,
mm-hmm.
and all of them with much higher temperatures. But there's this tremendous relationship between the rise and fall of temperature and the rise and fall of civilizations. During the warming trends, we saw that great civilizations rose up, technology advanced, their food was bountiful, harvests were plentiful. So people didn't have to grub for their next meal. They didn't have to worry about how they were feeding their family next week or next year. It was the cold periods that were horrific. Each one of them, the Greek Dark Ages, the Dark Ages, and the Little Ice Age, these cold periods were associated with crop failure, famine, pestilence, and mass depopulation. And it's just opposite of what we're being told. We're being told, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, we can't get over 1.5 degrees warming, or everything's going to go bad, we're going to have famines. It's just, historically, it's just opposite. It's just opposite. And we've never seen periods, warming periods that got to that, where bad things did happen. So again, we need to look at the history of temperature and climate and see what actually happened during those times. Back before climate science became politicized, each one of those warming trends were called climate optima for a reason, because both the Earth and humanity prospered.
Climate optima.
Climate optima,
yeah,
is what they were called.
And again, that's the real scientific terminology to be used, climate optima.
Yeah, and actually I'm in starting my next book, and I'm going to delve more deeply into this. Most historians, in fact, it's something around over 90%, so I guess you could say there's consensus, that have looked at the historical records agree, and particularly the most recent one was the medieval warm period, from the period of 850 to 1250 A.D., and in that, 90% or so of the historians looking at historical records agree that that period was much warmer or warmer than what we are today. And that's an important point, because if those periods were warmer than today, then our temperatures today are not unusual, they're not unprecedented, and that's what's really required if you believe in catastrophic man-made warming. You have to believe that our current temperatures and current temperature rises are unusual and unprecedented, and we can prove nearly categorically that it's not, and that's how we defeat this catastrophic man-made warming.
Yeah, just the facts, ma'am. You know,
yeah.
start with the facts. Start with the correct data. So, where do you think this is going to go? Let's say 2 years from now. And again, with the Trump presidency continues, where do you think this is going to go? Because you're out there talking to students and stuff, and I'm talking to the public for the most part. I think the public really has pushed back against all this. Certainly here in California, anybody who has a business understands how bad it is with this cap and trade business that's going on. Where do you think we're going to be in the next 2 years?
I talk to other skeptics, pretty well-known skeptics. I'm in the community. I'm really optimistic, much more so than my fellows. But I travel around the country, and I find that just the regular Joe or Jane that I encounter, they're thirsty for this information, because they're bombarded with stuff every single day about the latest one last week. Oh well, crocodile attacks are going to increase with climate change. There's the one I like was amphibians, toads and frogs are going to get dumber. Because how do you make a frog, and how do you measure it? I don't know. But they have stupid things like that. People are sick of that, and they have this great suspicion. And if I'm in a restaurant, in the airport, people next to me on the plane, I pull this app out, and we start talking. And they go, I didn't know that. Yeah. I pull out the one that's really impactful. If we look at the chart of 140 million years of carbon dioxide concentrations. This is when the plants that we rely on for our crops today first evolved.
Yeah.
It was 2,500 parts per million. We're at 400 today. 2,500 parts per million. We've added about 130 parts per million. I'm not going to go too many numbers here, but we've added about 130 parts per million since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution.
Listen, Gregory, we've got to stop there. I'm sorry we're running out of time. We've been talking to Gregory Whitestone, analyst and author of Inconvenient Facts. Gregory, thanks for being with us on Agenda 21 Radio.
Bet. Thanks.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, plaster gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. It's Agenda 21 with Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're trying to hook up and connect with David Jakes. And I think, David, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, awesome. Okay, hang on a second. Let me do a little introduction. Okay. David is with the Roseburg Beacon. And he's up there in Salem right now. And, David, we've been running around here like crazy in California. And, of course, we're with the New California State Movement, which is there's a similar type of movement that's now being presented in Oregon. Rural versus urban. We've gone through the cap-and-trade business down here. You've seen the results. It's just absolutely destroyed California in terms of business. It seems like your Republican colleagues up there have actually turned the tide on a lot of this.
Well, the Republicans in the Senate, we have a supermajority up here, Paul, in both the House and the Senate, for the Democrats, that is. And the Republican minority, all 11 of them, as you know, left the state. And, of course, the governor's reaction to that was to weaponize the Oregon State Police, and she's got a good history of that going back to LaVoy Finicum.
Yes.
But in this case, decided that she was going to try to bring them under arrest, and the senators weren't having any part of that.
So they absented themselves from the legislature.
I'm sorry, the connection broke up, Paul. Could you say that again?
So what happened is the senators, the term is absented themselves from the legislature, so they wouldn't be forced to vote on something they didn't want to vote on.
Well, that's right. And because of the supermajority, there was no way that just having 11 no votes was going to do anything. So what they had to do was to deny the Democrats a quorum so they can't bring the bill to the floor. And it was a very brilliant tactic and a very, frankly, courageous tactic. This is something that's been lacking in Republican politics for a long time, in my opinion.
Yeah, hitting back.
Hitting back.
Well, of course,
there's an old saying, how do you end bullying? Hit back.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what we're doing with the new California State movement, which they have no idea how to handle this, which is a really good thing. But I want to get into a little bit about the bravery that these guys showed, all of them, the men and women, all of them from rural areas of Oregon.
Well, I would say that's true of the senators. There's a few in the outskirts of Marion County, but primarily rural Oregon. And Oregon hasn't always been a blue state, by the way, but we have a long ways to build it back. But I think the Democrats have gone too far. Their overreach is going to be, I think there's going to be a big backlash in the 2020 cycle. But today, what we're witnessing here, Paul, is thousands of trucks from the ag industry, from the timber industry and industries that support that, descending on the Capitol. And it's an amazing statement of solidarity for the people, that are on the ground producing in the state.
Yeah, this is I got to tell you, for California and also for the new California State movement, this is just some really exciting stuff, because all this is, playing right into our whole theme of rural versus urban, lack of representation, which is clearly what's happened there. They've tried to bully literally the legislature there, but they've had too many people that have been stuck on common sense and stuck in conservatism. And again, the idea of being able to prevent them from lacking a quorum was brilliantly pulled off. In California, you can't do that because you have a super majority in the assembly and also in the Senate. So, the Republicans, they've gone anyway. They don't matter, even if you have, because there's so few of them, they wouldn't affect a quorum call at all. The quorum would automatically be made by Democrats. So we've been basically a lost state, a monoparty system, dictatorship, democracy, not a republic. But you guys have held on to your Republican form of government very well there.
Well, you use the word dictatorship, and in fact, I've written on this subject, it is the basic. When you have a supermajority controlled by one party, all branches of government, it really becomes a dictatorship, and it's the tyranny. You could say it's the tyranny of the majority, which is the danger of a democracy, but really what I think is it's the tyranny of a minority, because in our state legislature, we have 90 members, so we have 60 in the House and 30 in the Senate, but 90 people convene and set policy for 3 million in the state of Oregon. And so, when they are locked into an agenda as extreme as this one is, that is going to literally cripple our economy, it's the tyranny of a very small minority of elitists that are imposing their will, and so it really becomes a dictatorship.
Yeah, and again, it's the same sort of thing that you've lost a Republican form of governance.
Right,
had it not been for your ability to pull off the quorum call, or to not allow the quorum call, was really, I think, the last thread before it really turned into a California situation. And I certainly agree with what we're seeing up there in Oregon, which is so what they've done down here, is that they've really overplayed their hand. The monoparty system, the dictatorship that we have with Gavin Newsom and the rest, they've overplayed their hands badly. And now all of a sudden people are pushing back. People are stepping up here in New California, primarily being led by New California, to say no more of this. And they're going to lose California to New California. That's going to happen. New California as a state is going to happen. It's going to put a stop to all this nonsense. And I suspect you're probably going to have a big change in Oregon as the new Oregon movement starts to get its legs underneath it, too.
Well, I certainly hope so, Paul, for the sake of our future generations. You know, I personally have 12 grandkids, and three of them are with me today with their mom up here at the Capitol. And, you know, we worry about what we're leaving them if we don't get this thing turned back, because, as you know, once these things get into place, they get locked in like this cap and trade. It's almost impossible to reverse it. So I think they have overplayed their hand, not only, as you mentioned, Newsom and his group down there, but I think in Oregon, Kate Brown, I don't think she realized what she was stepping into. And just a few weeks ago, we beat back the mandatory vaccination bill, too. And that was a huge victory for medical freedom and for individual autonomy and individual liberty. It was a huge victory. And now this. But by the way, the other thing that this has caused is all the budget bills were put on hold. And so there's going to probably be a special session coming in September. I was just talking to Representative Gary Leaf on the steps of the Capitol, and he said that it won't be in July, which is what Governor Brown has threatened, but it'll be probably in September. But the danger of that is, and they're going to have to be some really good negotiating before that session, because they could open that session up for a couple days, bring one of these bills out, and bam, it's done, because they've got the votes and they know it. So anyway, I think this is hopefully a wake-up call, and I hope the people around the state of Oregon are paying close attention. Frankly, as you mentioned, not only California is watching this, but other parts of the country are watching what's happening here in Oregon.
Well, I guess the question is about, you know, will they pull that out at the last minute, and are, you know, what kind of protocols would be in place to stop that from being pulled out is the other thing. And I'm watching right now, the Oregon, was it Air 12, I guess it is up there flying around, and there's truckers everywhere. I guess this is a pretty large protest.
Yeah. Well, and the fact is, excuse me, tomorrow the session will sine die. The legislative session will end tomorrow. And so there's no sign that the Republican 11, as they're called now, will not be back, and so they will close the session, and they succeeded not only stopping this horrible, ill-conceived cap and trade, but also there was a pretty bad gun bill and some other bills out there. Mm-hmm. So that's all been shut off. And again, you know, I am so proud of the Republican leadership, and it's been a long time in coming. We have a Republican Party that's been pretty dysfunctional for a number of years, and I think this may be a turning point for that.
Let me ask you this, because when Lavoie Finicum, I call it the murder of Lavoie Finicum, as you, I know you covered it wall to wall, and we did too.
Yes.
We actually interviewed Victoria, was it Sharp, I think it was the last name, the night when she was released. You know, they released her in the parking lot of the Safeway there, and we actually got on that call and had a chance to talk to her, and of course she was very traumatized. But I go back to that experience in January of 2016, and I remember that a lot of people were concerned about the lack of knowledge about the constitutional rights that people in rural areas have. And I know that that's what the Bundys and Finicum, all those people were starting to teach about the Constitution. They brought in Chris Ann Hall and a few other people to help bring that about. What do you think the influence of that has been in the rural areas of Oregon?
Well, I think the influence has been very profound. You know, we've been following this movement, going back to Nye County, Nevada, and this Sagebrush Rebellion,
right,
as it's sometimes called, for a number of years. But I think when they crossed the line and actually assassinated a ranching, a man that was just a rancher who was unarmed, and, you know, I know, like me, you've seen the video of that.
Yeah.
Of that event, and this guy had his hands raised. He had no weapon. They, in my opinion, planted a weapon on him after the fact, but it's not even a type of gun that he ever owned or carried. And so I think it has been a very profound wake-up for a lot of people. The Finicums, Jeanette was just touring the state of Oregon with their film, and they're raising money for the lawsuit against the killing of her husband and the father of, I think, 11 kids,
right,
plus
right.
all the adopted kids they had. You know, and it's just unconscionable. But just a man that was out speaking his mind and standing up for the rights of ranchers in Utah, Nevada, Oregon, anywhere for that matter, and they have to silence him, and that's a very frightening thing. So I think that has woke people up.
Using their terms, they had to stop the spread of the virus. That was
right.
their terminology. They had to imagine they're going to stop the spread of the Constitution. That's exactly
right.
what they did. They killed him because your two senators up there and James Comey and you know, Valerie Jarrett in the White House and Kate Brown, her hands are absolutely all over that. They're going to come,
100%.
They are going to come, you know, their time is going to come, and it's going to come a lot sooner than people realize. And, we've had Jeanette's a fairly good friend of mine. I don't get to talk to her as much anymore, but she's been out on my show and Liberty Tours and so on and our Tea Party out here. So she's a very good friend of ours out here, and we support her 110%. And we'll continue to support her and her efforts and, of course, the efforts of Lavoie. And, of course, the inspiration behind, I think, what's happening today right now is in part because of Lavoie. And it's going to be an inspiration, I think, to the rest of the nation to see that, you know, Republicans, conservatives, you can step up and do the right thing, and you can matter. The thing that really is great about this is just a slap in the face to the California Air Resources Board, which has been the impetus behind a lot of this stuff in your state and other states as well. I know there's a whole bunch of now carbon trading schemes going on in other states, and it's a complete racket that will destroy those states' economies once it gets unbridled. If your bill had passed, you know full well that within 2 or 3 years your businesses would all be fleeing. You had one of your companies, as you were saying, one of your trucking firms, that had already laid off 60 people in anticipation of this. This is not rocket science to figure out how destructive this type of plan would be to the benefit of only a few people on the planet, I might add, and not do anything to mitigate so-called global warming. Not do a thing.
Well, I've always said, Paul, this is really a solution in search of a problem. First of all, you know, we need to be a little stronger in our denial that there even is any danger from so-called man-caused climate change. They had to change it to that, as you know, because the climate isn't a cooling trend now, so they can't say global warming anymore. But we've got to cut it off right there, in my opinion. We have to stop. You know, we had one of our 11 senators was on an interview the other day, and I just cringed when I heard it. He still had the courage to stay out, but he said, yeah, you know, we've got to really address this this carbon emissions problem, but we think this is the wrong way to do it. Well, I think we got to go further. I think we need to say there isn't a problem at all.
There isn't.
And the problem
right.
is, if you want to talk about a problem in Oregon, and you know this from California too, you talk about these catastrophic wildfires that the lack of timber management has caused. You talk about a carbon emission problem when those wildfires are going, man, you'd have to be driving these suburban for 200 years to have the kind of impact that those wildfires are having. So I think that's another problem. We got to shut off this debate and say, look, we don't have a problem. But if people are afraid to even tackle that one, I'm not. But I think a lot of the legislators have been intimidated into that position, and they've got to hear from the people. Then they'll go represent us. But if they aren't hearing it from us, they're going to cower, and they're going to come back to the table and try to find some compromise. But I think the whole thing is just bogus.
Well, the compromise is ludicrous because, you know, and again, we just had a guest on, Gregory Whitestone, who wrote the book about climate intolerance, the inconvenient facts about Al Gore and so on. And he's a rock-hard geologist, literally, and a solid science guy who believes in data, real, true data. And, of course, all this
right.
stuff in this climate science business is based upon false data. You know, they've taken the scientific method and they've bastardized it so they can get the results they want. You know, I used to teach about the scientific method. I taught it for years, and I always said, get your data, facts, correct, and tell the truth, regardless of what you find. And, of course, what they've figured out is, oh, we can lie about these data pieces, and we can put the data in any kind of package we want, and we can influence people, and then we can take it out to a wider audience, such as Al Gore. You know, I'd love to have the conversation with Al Gore about what carbon is, because I used to teach chemistry, right? Just, hey, Al, what is carbon? What does it do? Yeah, and this, of course, he wouldn't be able to answer because I don't think he ever took a biology or chemistry class in all of his educational career. See, that's what you're dealing with are people that are totally ignorant about science, pontificating about what they know about real hard science information that needs to be gleaned out there.
I lost a little bit of that on the connection here. What you said, Paul, about using real science and real data rather than this consensus science that they're trying to peddle out there, you know, a good friend of mine, Dr. Art Robinson, is the one that put together the global warming petition, and over 30,000 scientists, a majority of those PhDs, that analyzed the data and said there is no connection between man's industrial activity and the changing trends in climate. So I think if we're looking at real science, real data, there's no evidence. But yet we're told all the time it's a settled issue. The science has all been done, and that's a lie. What the problem is, you know, some of our fellow citizens buy into this thing, and they're a lot of them are really innocent, but the people peddling it aren't. They're the Al Gores and the others in this world. They're looking the camera, just direct in the eye and saying, nope, this is a problem, and we're the ones here to fix it. And we're going to have to confiscate a bunch of your capital and your private wealth to do that. But anyway, I think you're right. We got to get back to hard science and stop the use of these consensus science opinions that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I'm a hard science guy, so I believe in definitely having hard science to back up any of your claims out there. But you know, see, this is they did everything they possibly could to use lies to foist it upon everybody. And of course, this is where they're at today. They've created these laws, and these laws now have all these economic gimmicks to benefit and make rich a few people, at the detriment of a whole population, a whole state, basically, like California. One of the largest economies in the world has been absolutely turned upside down. And people say, oh, well, you're number five in the world. Well, it's really because of the tech industry of one small segment of the state. and that's gonna go bust now. So California is kind of doomed in a lot of different ways, and we know that. That's why we have the new California State movement. So tell us where you located exactly right now. We're seeing a picture of your fairgrounds and all the trucks you're driving in. There's thousands of trucks.
Well, there are thousands, and you should see the fleets of vehicles that are up here today. And I was talking to one of the timber men here on the Capitol steps, and he said each one of these trucks that you're looking at is about $900 to $1,000 a day in productivity. So when he's out here rolling his rig to show solidarity on this issue, you know, it's costing each one of these fellows a sizable, not to mention the diesel to get here, but he said that's trivial compared to the revenue that they're foregoing today just to be here and make a statement. But you see, Douglas County got hit really hard. It wasn't just the spotted owl, but we used to be the timber capital of the world before all the Endangered Species Act and all of these other acts piled on top of that. And we're down to less than 5% of the timber harvest that we used to have. And we're not even at the Clinton Forest Plan, which was a 90% reduction. We're not even 1% of that. So, you know, and by the way, I've already mentioned this, but the other side of that equation, Paul, is not only do we not have the jobs and the revenue, but our forest health is diminishing. If we would only, you know, they talk about sustainability. We're not even harvesting the rate of growth each year. And even if you did that, you'd have the same number of trees. We have more trees on the ground in Douglas County, Oregon, than we did at the beginning of World War II. And yet, you know, if you were on the East Coast and you were thinking about Oregon, you think, well, there's about 6 old growth trees left out there, and then the whole place would be, you know, absolutely desolate. Well, that isn't true. So, you know, this has hit our county hard financially. We've been on this safety net where I call it a welfare payment from the federal government in lieu of letting you people work and use your resources to your benefit. So this has been coming a long, long time, and I'm glad to see that the industry is still, you know, strong enough to be here today and make this statement.
Well, you know, how many people do you think are are you by the state capitol?
Yeah, I'm just I had to step inside a little alcove here, but I'm just about 200 feet from the front door of the Capitol, and there's thousands, and there's going to be speakers. The speakers haven't even started; they're coming at 9 o'clock, and I think there'll be quite a few more people then. But the truck rally is still going on, parading with tractors and semis coming back across the front of the Capitol. So the turnout is phenomenal. I've been to a lot of events up here, but this is probably one of the strongest turnouts I've seen.
That's awesome. Yeah, they're unloading people in buses now, it looks like.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, but yeah, you can probably hear the, I don't know if you hear the helicopters flying around up there. This is,
say it again?
I don't know if you hear the helicopters flying around up there. This is from Air 12, one of your...
I don't. Where I'm sitting, I just stepped in this little atrium building just so I could hear you. But I'm looking right at the Capitol Dome, and it's a great turnout.
Well, it's nice to see this kind of support for this type of program going on, you know, because we just haven't had that in the past, and it's to me, it's been very, very disappointing to, you know, to see this kind of stuff not, you know, to see these kind of things. Fall apart, so to speak, you know.
Well, Paul, I appreciate you and what you're doing with Agenda 21 Radio, and thanks for giving this some exposure so people around the country can get a vision of what's happening here and the effectiveness when people are willing to stand up and stand firm for their rights.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't seem I've been trying to, you know, as we've been talking and so on, I've been multitasking in the studio here and trying to get different other feeds out there. It seems that you've got some local feeds going on. Not too much that's being presented. I don't think I'm going to switch over here to see what Drudge is saying, but I don't think there's been too much exposure yet. But I have a feeling as the day goes on, because there's just so much activity, they're showing your state capitol. You got to... a lot of people gathering over there. There's a lot of just like the whole town's going to shut down here, I think. they're showing
right.
the entrance to the state capitol right now on the TV. And it seems to be fairly well crowded.
Well, we're going to continue to carry it in the Roseburg Beacon. You know, we've got subscribers across all 50 states, and we're going to keep making sure that people are aware of this, and with folks like you partnering up with us, we've got a chance at, you know, just inspiring others to be able to do the same thing in their states. And I think this is going to be successful. We know one thing for sure. Because of the bravery of these 11 Republican senators who walked out, denied the Democrats a quorum, they killed this cap and trade. It's a done deal. But if they'd have blinked, if even one, I think the number was two, if two of them would have remained in the Capitol, this thing would have passed, and now we'd be, you know, scrambling for cover and trying to figure out how we're going to deal with it.
It would be devastating. Listen, I know you have to run for time, and I want to thank you. We've been talking to David Jakes of the Roseburg Beacon, and listen, I know it's raining down there. It's inclement weather, but you got a massive number of people, which is wonderful. So congratulations on this turnout.
Well, Paul, thank you very much, and God bless you and what you're doing on Agenda 21 Radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David. That was David Jakes of the Roseburg Beacon, and he's up there covering this whole protest going on in Salem. And we're going to definitely keep you attuned to what's going on here in this movement. It's just amazing to see this number of people there. And, of course, it's raining like crazy. They're just going to set up some speaking booths and so on. But everybody's showing up and really creating quite a ruckus out there in Oregon. And for all the right reasons, they learned the lesson. They saw what was going on in California with this AB 32 cap and trade business. And I'll tell you, these guys learned a lot of lessons from Lavoie Finicum. They learned a lot of lessons from Lavoie Finicum and the Bundys from 2 years ago. The ghost of Lavoie Finicum is right here speaking to them. Right there in Oregon right now. Of course, there's no sound. I don't think there's any sound to this thing. Let's see if they got any. No, they have no sound going on here. And, of course, they're flying around the state capitol and got a lot of protesters out there in front. It's raining, very inclement weather. there in Salem, Oregon. But I'll tell you, they have a massive number of trucks rolling in right now going over there to the I'm taking a look at all the comments over here, but they're going over there to the fairground, which is not very far away from the state capitol, where we can see all these people moving around. It's really a wonderful thing to see. So this is the death, I think, of the cap and trade business, because you had to break the I think you have to break the cycle of this whole cap and trade business. It is putting the greens on notice that it ends now. I mean, just with the spotted owl business and all the other heavy-handed EPA, you know, federal EPA guidelines that came in under Bill Clinton primarily, they have devastated the economies up there. Like, they've been reduced to 5% of the timber harvest of what they normally would be turning in. And of course, what's happening is the forests are not being managed. I mean, talk about burn, baby, burn. Of course, they've had the same problems we've had out here in California. No one was managing the forests, and no one was managing the chaparral areas. And guess what? We had these high-intensity burns. And they have done the same thing. Some of the signs that says, enough is enough. End the BS. We support our senators. Don't make us come back. How to Ruin Lives and Bankrupt a State, HB 2007-2020. So that's what they've got. I guess it's House Bill 2007 and it's Senate Bill 2020 SB. So that's a really kind of an interesting thing going on. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff happening here on Agenda 21 Radio. We got to run for time, and we will be running for time. And I know this has been sort of a long, long haul on this hour, but we're going to be stepping up and getting a whole bunch of things done here on Agenda 21 Radio. So thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio, and it's a great show. A lot of things learned today. So anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website. Our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. And thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.